Take your Bibles this morning as we turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 brings us to the subject, the question of legalism. What is that? What's that all about? A lot of misinformation out there, a lot of funny beliefs about that. We're going to clear that up this morning. As well as this being a preaching service, we also trust this morning that this will be educational as well, that we get these truths sorted out from the Word of God, that we can live a life which is righteous and holy and pleasing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thinking of boo-boos that we make, you know, it's easy to make mistakes with that old computer. Anybody who knows working with a computer, you can lose things. You can lose announcements. You can lose sermons. You can lose lists. 2 months ago, I was working on the prayer chain list, and one click, it was gone. And I had to get my wife over there, and she had to help me to figure this out. And guess what I had to do? It was start at square one, redo her again. So that's what happens in life. Things can disappear on you real quick. Things can get out of sorts. And so we think this morning on this question of legalism. A lot of folks get this out of sorts. They don't understand it, don't have it right. And so we want to get it right this morning and make sure we're on board with what the Bible has to say about it. So as we begin this morning, let's ask God's help. Let's ask His direction. Father, we thank You for the remembrance of the Lord's table this morning, that solemn occasion which brings us together the first Sunday of the month. A sacred time, a holy time. It's a time when we really give special attention to what our Savior has done. We push everything out of the way and we get serious about remembering what Jesus has done for us. Father, today as we get into this message, we're looking at a subject where the apostles had great discussion, where the Judaizers had come with false teaching and were trying to subvert the church. And specifically, this time we're looking at the Galatian churches. So, Father, this morning as we embark upon this study, we pray for Your help and Your blessing. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to fill me right now for this time. I trust and depend upon You to bring the message to Thy people, that we might be built and strengthened, that we can go forth as ambassadors and soldiers and healers of the cross of Calvary, like our Savior. Father, make us more and more and more like You every day. We ask for Your help right now. We do so in the powerful and blessed name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, let's read verses 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The question of legalism this morning. There are two kinds of Christians in this world that are very unhappy people. That first kind of Christian is that Christian who feels like they have to add something to their salvation in order to be saved. In other words, they think as part of their salvation, they have to have more than just faith. They have to have this, or they have to have that, or they need to do this. This is what the Judaizers were coming to the Galatians with. You're not just saved by faith. You have to be circumcised and keep the law. That is legalism. Adding something to salvation. A very, very important statement I'm going to make right now, which is we need to really get this. Legalism has everything to do with salvation. Legalism has everything to do with salvation. These are the people here Paul's addressing in Galatians 5, the people we read about in our scripture reading earlier this morning. And then there are the second kind of Christian who's miserable and unhappy. That's the Christian who goes to the Bible and they pick and choose what they like. Oh, I'm going to keep this part, but you know what? I don't know if I agree with that part. I don't know if I can do that part. I don't know if I like that command of God. I think I'll just put that aside. You know what that is? That's putting yourself back into bondage. That's putting yourself back to where you were before you're saved, because now you're thinking, you know what? I don't have to obey any of this stuff. I don't like this. They're very, very unhappy people that live like that. They're carnal in their life. Carnal Christians who condemn other people, who live by basic Bible principles that their carnal lifestyle rebels against. They're unhappy because I'm not living up to a standard that someone else is, and so I'm going to tag them with this. I'm going to call them a legalist. That's what they are. They're a legalist because I'm not going along with what they have to say today. You see, that is all wrong. That is all out of sorts. You know, these folks, these Christians, these professors are repulsed by Bible doctrines such as holiness and righteousness. They rather not hear about those because they're carnal in their lifestyle. That word holiness convicts them about their love of the world. They point their fingers at those who are sold out to Jesus Christ and live by Bible truths, principles, and commands of scriptures, and they say, "You legalist." I know a pastor up in the northern part of our country who has a ministry. It's on the internet called Way of Life. He says that he gets at least one, if not more, emails every day accusing him of being a legalist. You know why? Because he's putting the truth of the Word of God out there, and there are those that are receiving it and they're not liking the truth of God's Word. And since they don't like what they're hearing, they don't agree with what they're hearing, they label him, they'll label me, they'll label you as a legalist. You see, you are living by basic Bible principles, the truths of the Word of God, the commands of the Scripture. And when you do that, you're not adding anything to your salvation. You're not saying that you have to do this in order to be saved. See, that's what the legalist does. He takes something from life that he wants to push on you and says, this is going to be a part of your salvation. Get it straight. You better do this or you will not be saved. And that's not true. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 5 and what we looked at in our scripture reading this morning. So when Paul wrote these words in Galatians chapter 5, it's interesting that most of the believers on the face of the earth were slaves. How about that? They weren't just free people like you and I. Most of the people that grabbed on to the gospel were slaves, forced to do labor for other people. There was a huge slave population during the writing of these scriptures. Millions and millions of slaves all shared one desire. It was the same desire, and that desire was to be free. They wanted to be free. And what happened was the Apostle Paul and others came with the gospel of Jesus Christ. and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith for their salvation, and they were set free spiritually. They experienced freedom. And now these Judaizers come to town and are trying to put these folks back under bondage, back into slavery spiritually. That's not where you want to go. They're coming to town saying, now look, you Gentile slaves, you just got saved. You know what? As part of your salvation, you have to be circumcised. And not only that, you have to obey the law. They were making add-ons to salvation. It was no longer an act of faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It was now, you need to be circumcised and you need to keep the law. Here these slaves come and they were saved and there was no strings attached to their salvation. When we came to Jesus in salvation, there were no strings attached. But there are those who come to us and want to attach a lot of things and say, you better do this if you're really going to be saved. If you're really going to go to heaven, you need to be circumcised and obey the law. That is what was going on there with their extra list of dues for salvation. I want to share a lot of scripture this morning. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1, which we read earlier. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see, that's what legalism is all about. It has all to do with the doctrine of salvation. Now, other verses, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So Paul cut the Judaizers out in that one verse. One inspired verse. But there's much more. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You see, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ in saving faith. Hebrews 7:18 and 19. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Acts 15:10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Romans 6:18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Not the law. Righteousness. Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather ye are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Paul says in verse number 1 of our text, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. He's connecting to what he has already said. We are not of the bondwoman, but we are of the free. We are not of the woman who was in bondage, and we're not going to go back to bondage either. We are of the free woman. We are free by the blood of Christ. Liberty is freedom from rights. Liberty is freedom from ceremonies. Liberty is freedom from the yoke that the law had on the neck of the people that they could never perform or do to make themselves righteous and holy and suitable for salvation. Liberty from the power and the guilt of sin that Christ has taken away by the blood of his cross. Legalism is a deadly error which teaches that salvation is by the works of the law, and it is not. You know, I know folks today who believe that they're saved, but they have to do certain things. They've got this list, this man-made list of things that they have to do, and if they don't do them, they think they're going to lose their salvation. They think that they're not going to be saved anymore if they don't do this list. And that's just not true. That's legalism, adding something to faith for your salvation. The legalist said in Acts 15:1, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." That's what they said. The works of the law cannot save, and they cannot sanctify. The works of the law will not grow you in grace. They will not make you more like Christ. Romans 3:20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Then we look at Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Then you could take time and read all of Romans chapter 6. I'll read just one verse, 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You see, that was already settled. You can't keep the law, and it's not going to make you better. You can't do all these rites and ceremonies and this and that and the other to make sure that you are saved. It just does not work that way. Holiness does not come by doing in the energy of the flesh. Romans chapter 9, verses 31 and 32. "But Israel, that followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained unto the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone." The law could never make them holy, could never sanctify them, could never make them what they ought to be, could never grow them in Christ. Legalists try to keep the law, but they cannot do it. Galatians 6:13, "For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." That they may glory in your set of rules. That they may glory in what they're getting you to do, supposedly, to make sure that you're going to be saved. Acts 15 and verse number 10, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Just cannot do that. On the other hand, the believer who walks in the Spirit keeps the law by way of the fruit of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so how are we going to grow? How are we going to obey the Scriptures? How are we going to do the things that we're supposed to do? It says right there in that verse, we walk in the Spirit. We allow the Lord to direct our steps. We get into His Word. We sink deeply in meditation. We study what He wants us to do, and we go out and we do that out of a loving heart because I have been saved, and now I'm seeking to please my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we make a difference in this world. And we make a difference when we go to work. And we make a difference when we visit with friends. Because I'm not going there because I've got a taskmaster behind me, but I have a loving Savior who gave me His Word, and He gives me commands in His Word that I read and I obey. I obey because I'm saved. I don't obey to get saved. That's already done. Been saved. Now I seek to serve my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give you a little list here of what legalism is not. What legalism is not. Number one, being obedient to the commands of Scripture is not legalism. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Number two, living a holy life and being separated unto God is not legalism. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's the call. Number three, separating yourself to God and away from the fads and the fashion and the culture of society is not legalism. Romans 12 and verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of people. They don't really want to do the will of God. That's not in their plans. And I guess one of the best illustrations of that is the young person who goes off to college and God is saying to them, you know what, I want you to be a missionary. And they say, well, you know, Lord, if I be a missionary, you know what you're going to do? You're going to send me to some place where I got to live in a grass hut and eat mush and be miserable for the rest of my life. God would never do that. God's will for your life is something great. God's will for your life is the best thing you could ever possibly do. To settle for anything less than God's will for your life is going to be secondary good, third, fourth, fifth. It might be terrible to settle for anything less than the will of God. And then number four, conforming. Now listen up. Listen, this is where a lot of people get stuck. Conforming your life to Bible-based standards of a local New Testament church is not legalism. Acts 15, 29. And here are the commandments coming down from the apostles. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. 1 Corinthians 7, 19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. There's where you find peace and joy in your life, by keeping the commands of God. You know, the judgment seat of Christ is coming for all of us. As one of my favorite evangelists liked to say, we're going to be suspended on air before Jesus Christ and give an account of what happened in this life. You know, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a very unpleasant place for a lot of believers. It's not going to be a pleasant place because of all the lack of giving due diligence to the Scriptures, to obeying the Word of God. It's going to be a very unpleasant place because folks disregard and will not obey the commands of Scripture. And then on the other hand, you could be here this morning and you could be serving God in a lot of different ways. You may have great zeal for the Lord and do some really good things, but willful neglect of divine commands will condemn you. You see, I can't serve the Lord as a pastor and then have all these other things going on in my life which are not in agreement with the Word of God. That means that when I would stand before the Lord Jesus or kneel on air before the Lord Jesus, it's not going to be a very pleasant time if I disregard God's will for my life, if I disregard the commands of Scripture, if I just say, you know what, I just don't feel like doing that or I don't feel like obeying that, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a very unpleasant place for folks that have that kind of an attitude. Doing religious deeds, serving the Lord in some capacity, is not a substitute for holiness and righteousness in life. And a lot of folks try that. They try and soothe their conscience. Well, I'm going to do this for God, and I'm going to serve God over here. But you know what? I'm not really into being holy. I'm not into being righteous. I just kind of want to take my life and do what I want to do. That's totally against Scripture. That'll make the judgment seat a very, very unpleasant place. I have here a grouping of statements that are really good when it comes to this term legalism. Legalism is a term frequently used to describe Bible-believing Christians who are zealous for pure doctrine and who desire to maintain holy standards of living in this wicked hour. True legalism has a twofold definition. Number one, it is mixing works with grace for salvation. That's what it's teaching in Galatians 1. Number two, it is adding human tradition to the Word of God, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. The Pharisees were guilty of this all the time. The Lord Jesus was going head to head with the Pharisees all the time over this issue of legalism. They were more concerned with washing their hands than they were with the cleanliness of their hearts. They had it backwards. The heart is what defiles, not eating a piece of bread with unwashed hands. That's not how it works, the Lord Jesus said. They taught, the Pharisees taught, that the way of salvation was by the keeping of the law. And they made their uninspired teachings authoritative over people's lives with no scriptural backup. That's the problem with the Pharisees. Here's the set of rules, but they're not found here. Now, I don't live off the Pharisees' set of rules. I live off of the commands of Scripture. I live off the teachings of Jesus and the things that the apostles passed down to us from the Holy Spirit. That's where we learn how to live. For a Bible preacher to proclaim that God's people are to obey the details of God's word is not legalism, it is faithfulness to the word of God. That's what it is. Matthew 28:20, 2 Timothy 4:1-2, and Titus 2:15. Strict obedience to the word of God is the way of liberty and freedom. This book sets us free. John chapter 8. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know what freedom is? Freedom is dropping your head on the pillow at night and knowing that I have obeyed my Savior. That's what peace is. There is no peace in doing my own thing. There is no peace in living and looking like the world. There is no peace in that at all. That's bondage. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want to close this morning with three terms and their definitions. And this is the truth right here. Every one of us sitting here this morning is one of these three. And we all will know in our own hearts where we are, which one we are. Okay, listen carefully. Number one, the first term. A Christian who practices biblical separation. That's the first term. Biblical separation. A Christian who practices biblical separation is one who understands Bible principles and implements biblical standards in his or her life. Number two is the legalist. The legalist is a person who ignores Bible principles and exalts external standards. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what the Judaizers did. They said, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. Then the third term is libertine. Libertine. A libertine Christian forgets biblical principles and despises biblical standards. The vast majority of Christians in America today are libertine Christians. And I say that's why America is going down the drain. Libertine Christians, they forget biblical principles and despise biblical standards. The dictionary defines a libertine like this. Now listen to these words right out of the dictionary. A libertine is a free thinker, especially in religious matters. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Right out of the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Now, let's go over to the encyclopedia. Defines a libertine as one devoid of most moral restraints, which are seen as unnecessary or undesirable. You know, most Christians live like that. They see the truths of Scripture as undesirable. Now the question for us this morning is, which one of those three are we? Are you? Am I? Very important that we see where we stand this morning before God and His eternal Word. Is this my way of life and practice? Or am I a free thinker? And I just kind of pick and choose and do what I want. The judgment seat of Christ is coming soon. We need to all do all that we possibly can to make sure that that is not an unpleasant experience, and that we will be found faithful to the Lord when we stand before Him on that day. These are very, very sobering truths that we've looked at this morning from the Word of God. I trust we'll take all of this to heart and that we will be all that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, and Peter, who stood up in the midst of the people and cut it straight. Thank you, Lord, that we're never going to be without a true testimony on this earth. That you are faithful, your word is always going to be here, and that there will always be a remnant of committed Christians who walk the face of this earth. My prayer and desire is that we are those people here at Faith Chapel. That we will stand till Jesus comes. That we will honor Him with all of our hearts and our souls and our minds. That we will be committed to the sacred trust which has been given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Father, we ask for your help and your blessing today for each heart, each soul that's represented in this congregation today. We give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.